Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
And guess who I am? Christine Marie.
And you're feeling a little under the weather.
I am under the weather tonight.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And,
but happy to be here. Happy to be anywhere. No,
and the chimes are in the background, and you're saying, screw it. It makes radio sound so nice.
It just makes me feel happier.
Yes.
I mean, we were just talking to the producer, saying, here it is in Chicagoland, the middle of December, and it's 62 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentle, gentle rain falling, and our wind chimes are blowing. And who wants to stop that? That's unusual.
And it's been continually raining all day long. It's been lovely.
Yes.
And I have a little puppy looking at me.
Uh-oh.
He's just looking at me like so sad. You put me in my crate. Hi.
We always say with the happiest voice possible, crate time.
With a piece of cheese and a couple of ice cubes,
yeah.
And he goes right in.
And he goes right in.
And he's like, wait a minute.
Wait, what the heck did I just do here?
Yeah. here's the thing. He could roam, and I could trust that he would be mostly good. Except that, you know, lately he's been doing weird things, like eating
a ficus tree.
Yes. Or, you know, like he was looking outside, and then I noticed he loved looking outside, and all of a sudden I noticed that a part of the blind was torn off. And you're like,
for about a half an hour, he was so deliciously calm.
Yes.
He was just looking out the window,
laying
on the recliner, looking out the window, and I didn't want to stop that. It was so precious. And then finally he leaves, and this is Elliot we're talking about, our little Wheaton Terrier, and he has gnawed a big piece of the blind off.
Yeah, and we're like, oh. So what we thought was, you know, a perfect harmony into the world, he just chilling with us, he was gnawing and causing damage.
Yes.
And
he just has those terrier teeth that they will not be denied.
No, they will. And they're so scary looking.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, for me, I decided when I first got him, like, I will not be afraid of this dog.
Right.
No matter what he does, I will not be afraid of this dog. And so if he gets a little bit, like, crazy, I'm just like, I'm going in.
You're going in.
I'm going in.
And he will put his teeth on you, but he won't
he doesn't bite.
No.
No, and it's sad because Normana, who's been on blood thinners now for about 10 months because of his little... Just a little
incident,
a little opening up the chambers, you know, of everything, of love. You know, his arms look horrible.
Yeah, Elliot just like sneezes on his hand.
Yeah, it's
and
a bruise. Exactly. Me, I just like, okay, here's my hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can gnaw on it. And then I'm like, no, too much. Too much. Back off. And then I'll back off. And as long as I miss the canines, we're good.
Yes, yes.
But we're gonna have a really sweet show tonight.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it. You let me sleep.
Yes, I did.
I was under the weather.
Yes.
So I have no idea where you're gonna go.
Well, you know, it's so funny because you've been, you're just allowing yourself to have a little bit of cranberry juice, have a little bit of ginger ale because you're not feeling good, So I'm like, well, that looks really good.
Is that what you've been having?
I've been having that. And, like, my stomach's upset because it's a little bit,
you're not used to it.
Well, but here's the thing. You're just sipping yours.
I
this is like a cocktail, man. I put a little bourbon in it.
Put a little bourbon in the ginger ale.
Yeah, and you're like,
Merry Christmas.
This is awesome. And now I'm feeling like the room is spinning. No, but I have an agenda for a night, and this week I have been talking to some really close friends, and we've a lot of people that I know are really in this place of, I don't want to go as far as saying despair, but are questioning, like, how the heck did my life get here? And they're good people. Every one of them are good people making decisions based on the information at hand. And still just left with, why am I here and how can I get out of this place, out of this funk, out of this depression, and how do we move forward? And it's interesting, before we went on the radio, I was listening to Oprah's Soul Sunday, And she had Thomas More on, who you
oh
love.
Oh, my gosh, I love Thomas More.
And so he has a new book out, and I took notes.
What is it?
It's called One's Own Religion.
What?
One's Own Religion,
oh,
I think.
Oh, my gosh. Because his preeminent book, Care of the Soul,
was your favorite.
Was my it still probably is my favorite book of all time.
Well, and I want to talk about it because I took copious notes, if that's the right word. A Religion of One's Own, that's exactly what it's called. But it was so telling because you and I have been talking about this and talking about this for a while about, you know, we know people on this spiritual journey.
Yes,
and on the spiritual, even in the prosperity path and law of attraction path for years. And there is this cycle right now going on. We're like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Like everything seems broken. You know?
Right.
My attraction magnet is like no longer working.
Right. And how do you not feel, you know, that God says, I will never leave you or desert you.
Yes.
And yet, how do you not feel deserted in these moments when you're depleted, you're nothing but questions?
Yes.
That, you know, you desire the answer to? And
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about this today because I thought, I love Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity.
Is her name Edwina or Edwin?
Edwin.
Edwin, okay.
Edwin Gaines. It's called A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited Abundance.
She's still around.
Yes, and I love this sweet little book.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones I keep as well with Deepak Chopra's Spiritual Laws.
Because they're
success.
Tiny.
Yes.
They're tiny books. They're simple. They don't add.
Yes.
They don't subtract. It just is what it is.
Well, you know what? Thank you. I so agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to tell people, if you can't say it under 200 words,
mm-hmm.
under 200 pages, it should be 2 books.
Right. Right.
And I'm looking at this one. This is only 205 pages, but
it's
smaller pages, you know. And I don't mean to be, like, oh, we have such a short attention span now, the American culture.
But
yeah, really.
Perhaps.
But truly, though, to really take in a book and marinate it and read it over and over again, it can't be huge.
No.
I mean, it can't be a 500-page document of like, oh, my goodness.
Let me
gracious.
Just ask you, how many years have we had her book, approximately?
Five, four?
I would say more than that.
Three? 10?
No, more. I would say more. And how many times have we read it? I mean, it's our go-to book.
It's one of our go-to books for sure. And if it pops, it ends up going to the top of any pile.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just goes, oh, okay. And it could be because it's a small book, like Deepak Chopra's book is small.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always is the top of a pile because it can't be at the bottom. Because it's
That's
not
smart, though, and it's a hard bound.
Yeah, but it can't, you know, it's that you can't have an upside-down pyramid, right?
No.
It has to build with the biggest one on the bottom.
Right.
But I want to kind of go through the four spiritual laws of prosperity tonight, just in case people are feeling the same way. Like, what is going on in the world that I'm, first of all, I'm feeling disconnected with it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had these moments as well. I had a moment this week. Oh, beautiful wind chime.
Mm-hmm.
I shared with you, you were watching, you have in the background sometimes, not CNN, but HSN.
Right, the one next to it.
Yes.
HLN.
And it's a lot of social media stuff.
Yes.
And this one popped up where it was a woman had posted a picture on her Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. I don't know.
I know. We're kind of behind the times on that. We really shouldn't be.
No, but just because I don't know. But I'm opening up to that.
Yes, me too.
But it was a picture of her Christmas tree, and in front of it was this pile, it was almost as high as a Christmas tree, of presents. And she put it on her social media site to say, I guess over the world a comment, or to say, hey, look at all my kids. They're going to be so happy this year, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so this went viral for some apparent reason.
Wow.
And it received comments on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. Law of prosperity, law of polarity. You had people saying this
is really?
Gross.
Commenting.
Yeah, commenting. No one said, oh, nice. Nothing was neutral.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I just don't get the comment section.
Well, And I don't get why post it.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't care one way or another. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I
would have probably enjoyed seeing the picture. I don't know if I would have had, you know, comments.
Yes.
But, you know, why can't we just look at the picture? Why does everybody need to have an opinion, you know?
And then, here I am talking about it, because I do have my opinion about it, but I have my opinion on why do I need to have an opinion on this?
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, exactly. It's nuts. But I felt when this went quote unquote viral and was talking on a legitimate news source, I thought to myself, I don't feel like I fit in this world anymore.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I fit in this world mm-hmm. anymore. And then what does the Bible say? Be
in the world, but not of the world.
Right. And I always mix it up somehow. The wording, I mix it up. Mm-hmm. Not the emotional feeling behind
it.
Right. And so I know that there are people out there that are just feeling the same way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm in the, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I know what you mean. I feel at those moments that you're talking about, kind of just like broken in some way.
Yes.
Like, and I need to work my program to
yes.
get back into the place where my brain is happier.
Yes.
Because we know that, you know, bad thoughts can do actual physical brain damage.
And
because our thoughts aren't meant to be hurtful.
No. I mean, they could, in the past, our thoughts could mean to get you going, get you out of a place that may cause danger. But we don't have that immediate danger anymore, most likely. Mm-hmm. So our thoughts, especially the negative ones, keep us small
mm-hmm.
and keep us fearful of making even any decision because of fear mm-hmm. of being the wrong one.
Right. And more than likely, with what's going on out there,
yeah.
99% of the time we're going to, you know, not land right.
Yes, that's
what
exactly
right. What
were you
telling me last week about, you know, McDonald's? How many times did he fail before he...
Right, until he hit McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, but you know, that's in general, that's how it works.
Well, I remember Tim Ferriss said, because he considers himself now, oh, God, what do they call that, startup entrepreneur, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's an angel investor,
venture capitalist,
thank you. And he was talking about how it's not uncommon to think of startups like 1 in 10 making it. So 9 fail, but 1 in
mm-hmm.
10, that 1
mm-hmm.
could be the next Facebook,
mm-hmm.
the next Uber, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were interviewing somebody at the time, he was from India, and he's like, you know, in India, we don't think that way. We think, well, you know, 9 should make it. 1
yeah.
should only fail, 9
right.
should make it.
Right.
Here it's like, no, let's just keep starting up. Let's, mm-hmm. and if those are your odds, you cannot be afraid of failure.
No, and like if you've ever watched Shark Tank, I've like, you know, when these guys come out, I'll just think, well, that's a great idea.
Yes.
And every one of those sharks will just shoot it down. They'll, you know, they'll say, I don't have your algorithms. I don't see that we're the profits.
Right.
You know, or this is not, it's already out there.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, you know, all those hours and hours and hours and hours of work, you know, and then...
And they just go, boom, shut it down.
Yeah.
And then you're left with, well, now what? Mm-hmm. I just spent the 3 to 5 years maybe of your life mm-hmm. thinking about this, trying to develop it. And then you're like, okay.
Like roller, tennis shoes with roller skates on.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
My Aunt Roseanne, she loves that show for one reason.
Why?
Mark Cuban.
Oh, she loves Mark Cuban.
She thinks he's hot.
Hot.
That's, well, she's
that's
84.
Hot. Yeah.
She's 84.
And just as sharp as a tack, man, she's like right
well,
there.
She'll cut a bitch.
She really will,
she
man.
She will.
It's like, whoa, mm-hmm. not slowing you down at all.
It's
huh?
so funny, our conversations together, like, oh, hi, dear Aunt Roseanne, how are you? Run around, you're going to get it. I got to.
Like, whoa. And you're like, everything's well. And then you just, I know people because then there's a point of going, I'm just on it for the ride,
yeah.
and I'm going to get on their cart and their ride.
Yes.
They're not going to be on my ride
no.
because that doesn't work. They can't get on my ride. I have to get on their ride.
Yes.
It's like, let's just go for it.
Yes.
And that's okay.
And we have to diss a little bit. She likes to diss you.
I know.
If I'm saying dish, I'm saying diss.
I know she has to diss me.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm dissable. I really am. I know I'm dissable.
You're broken.
I know. Well,
undissable.
I'm dissable.
Unlovable.
Unlovable. Not affable.
let's talk Edwina. Edwine.
Oh, sure.
Me.
Oh, let's change the topic. I love it. But one thing, I'm going to bounce back and forth a little bit between.
Yeah, I want you to. I'm listening.
Thomas Moore. Real quick, I thought it was interesting. Thomas Moore talks about this part where we're like, the part when we get to the end of our rope.
Really?
Yes. And... I want to say the right words, but that's okay if I don't. But it's just the part of us where it's the despair, when we're at this despairable part, we're just in despair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we go inward. He says, I work in hospitals all the time, and you'd be amazed at people tell me this illness cured me. Like, because at this moment, I have nothing to do but to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
And to go deeper and to create more life for myself and with my spirit.
Wow.
And I thought, that is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And we feel that same way, or I feel that same way. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But
well, and also, not just the spirit, but of course, Thomas Moore is all about the soul.
Yes.
And our soul gets so, our soul needs novelty. It needs love. It needs creativity. And so many of us just block our souls.
Well, it's very interesting. I think he's defined the soul and spirit a little bit differently than he used to.
I know.
He's kind of, and we've kind of, in our, when we're studying this stuff, and we define the spirit as that.
That we are a spirit.
We are spirit.
We have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your emotions, your intellect.
Yes.
And that you live in a body.
Right. And so so what we might think as soul is, is really our spirit. It's not interchangeable. And now he kind of goes back and forth with the word spirit and soul as your spirit is you're born with instantly. That's what he says. It comes with a spirit.
Right.
Christians might call it born again. When you're born again into the Spirit, your spirit awakens or whatever, you're born the Spirit. But it's this idea that your spirit is the one pushing you for transcendence. And your soul is the one that wants a home, that needs a home.
Wow,
and,
I love it.
And he says, that's kind of why we get messed up sometimes, because our spirit and soul may not want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was fascinating. I'm going
to
get this book, so I'm just like...
You have to.
Well, and I love Thomas Moore.
Yes.
But we'll go back to him a little bit later, because I do want to talk about Edwine. Mm.
So, but the spirit pushes you, and the soul needs a home, needs to feel safe.
Yes,
and
connected.
Loved,
and loved. Yes.
And the spirit needs... adventure.
Well, the spirit needs this.
Creativity.
Yes, he said where the soul needs attachment, the spirit needs detachment.
Gotcha.
And I believe that's an interesting way of saying it, because for us, what I feel is like the spirit is my connection to the infinite, to Jesus, to God.
Yes.
Where my soul is my emotional base, my mind, my will, in some sense.
Oh, yes, it is.
And love. And that's all connected to being, grounded. It's grounding
right.
me, where my spirit just flies. Now, he talks about, Brast, and what about, what do you think God is? He says, first off, he was a monk at the age of 13.
Yes.
So he went to Illinois and became a monk at the age of 13. His family was okay with this. I don't think you guys would have been okay with that.
And for 13... Can you be mommy?
Can I be a monk?
Mama,
can I be a nun?
I want to be a monk.
Yeah, and for 13 years, he was a monk. And then before he became an ordained priest, he left. But she asked him, what's like being a monk? And he goes, well, about an hour to hour and a half of meditation a day. And then we would chant the Psalms. That's so beautiful. I love that.
Because,
but the most part is that we were always a monk in every bit of our practice for the course of the day. If we were working in the gardens, mm-hmm. we were practicing being a monk.
Mm-hmm.
If we were washing dishes, we were practicing being a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of forming your own religion,
mm-hmm.
your connection to your spiritual self, your individualized, deep connection to your practice
mm-hmm.
is what he's saying is your own religion.
Mm.
And I thought...
You know, I've witnessed... people like that have had that kind of dedication and
mm-hmm.
training. And there's something full, you know, about them. But there's also, I find that they're somewhat impenetrable, that
yes.
I can't connect to them.
But
they
sure.
seem so full and rich that maybe they don't need that, you know, that where I would desire, like you and I, you know, if I was not able to connect with you, you know.
Right. Well, I think we're soulmates.
Yes.
I think our souls are attached or have found attachment with
mm-hmm.
each other.
Yes.
You know. And then his spirit, or people like that, their spirits are so detached.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're looking for some kind of connection with their soul and so forth. But it was a fascinating conversation. I'll talk a little more about it later. But as I said before, and we go down to the four spiritual laws of prosperity with Edwin Gaines.
And why did you choose this book tonight? Was it because of your friends that you were talking to? I know that
yes.
you mentioned, you know, your
Lou,
good
I cannot
friend.
Tell you that at least five people that mm-hmm. I know are struggling, and it could be at the end, this time of year. And we're supposed to be, if you're not connected to commercialism, like it's shop, 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 shop,
mm-hmm.
shop, you're left with, it's the end of the year, reflecting on life,
mm-hmm.
Change
oh
of seasons.
Gosh. I've been doing that. I was doing Christmas cards.
Yes.
And, you know, with every, you know, Christmas card I write, I was, you know, that's the song.
I know.
But I was like, I kept feeling less than.
Yes.
Not like, I'm just so happy to connect with them and, you know, write my little greeting to them. I just was like, they retired early.
Yes.
You know, or like, they travel a lot, you know.
Yes. Well, it's so funny because you're really seeing our family has always been dreamers and wanderers.
Our family.
And have loved it. And I don't think we can live any other way.
Right.
But consequently, you know, we don't have,
right.
we may not have the stability of, like, being a teacher for 40 years.
Right, exactly.
Or working at the same company for 40 years. Or, you know, was a road commissioner for 40 years mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yes.
So
where
our lives felt energized and energetic at the age of, you know, early in your married life and middle married life, now you're like, wait a minute, I can see that kind of the benefits of like picking that road that's traveled well.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, my spirit is happy.
Yes,
is well fed, but there I think my soul, which is like. My emotions sometimes
yes.
get dragged down.
Well, and
like there's a little voice, inner critic. You're a loser.
Right.
Or you did, you know.
Right. You didn't invest enough.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. You know. You didn't do this enough. And that is just, what do you call it, the saboteur, the enemy,
yes.
the devil.
Yes.
It is just bullshit.
Right.
What it is.
Right.
I mean, tomorrow you could go and live at a. You know, some kind of commune, and then
be a monkess.
Yes, and you'd have no choice but to feel like, this is it. This
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah,
I got everything I need.
Yeah,
which is not much. I got Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday's outfit. And then I got Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays outfits. So I got two outfits, and that's all I need.
That's kind of how I live now.
I know. You kind of dig that.
Yeah. I kind of do. I'm a simple girl.
There was one thing I thought in the interview that was interesting, and you could help me with this, and I'm going to sound very ignorant, possibly. That he said that he goes and reads this book daily or monthly, and she knew what the book was, and I didn't. And the person who, because I have closed captioning on sometimes, which I appreciate, not because I can't hear, but because I like to read the words sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
And if I miss it, I want to be able to, it's always about a second behind, so I catch up.
Yes.
The person who was doing closed captioning didn't understand it either.
Oh.
And I played it back, and it was this. I think he said the word, Abby Jane. He goes, oh, I go back and I study Abby Jane all the time. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Wow.
Do you know what that is?
I'm flummoxed. I don't know.
And I may not be hearing it correctly.
Uh-huh.
It's like something Abba Jane. Jane is the last word.
Wow.
And Oprah's like, oh, really? I'm like, you didn't know either, Oprah.
Look it up.
Look it up. I couldn't look it up because I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't hear it right.
I don't know if I heard it right.
Right.
And the closed captioner person didn't write it down either.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was like, meow.
Well, we'll need to figure that one out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, when someone, and I don't know if he, I think what I remember from Thomas More is that he continues to be a daily meditator.
Yes.
And there's something that really uniquely happens to you when you do that, you know, there's something that gets steady.
Yeah.
That gets like rock solid or, you know, you're able to flow as well, you know, easier.
It's so funny because you had brought up this idea to me that you do this, like there are people out there that want to, you know, follow the prosperity rules in the Bible to become rich, right?
Right.
And it's like, why can't we just do this for Christ, like Christ's sake, you know?
Yes.
It's like,
right.
We do this for Christ's sake, you know, not for any other supposed reason.
Yeah.
And like meditation,
because I think
that's
where ultimately our true joy may reside there.
Right.
That's beyond your circumstances.
Well, and
it's really true. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I mean it's would I be saying this if, you know, like my brother, you know, retiring early and 401k and Christmas bonuses and and all that stuff. I mean, you know, do you see what I'm saying? There's a part of me that feels a little disingenuous that
I guess I get that.
To say, you know, oh, it's, you know, situational. You know, don't let it get situational.
Right, and
find your joy beyond that.
I think it's okay to be situational.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's okay to say I might feel a little disingenuous because, you know what, you're often human. And it shows you, and it shows me sometimes, wait a minute, where am I, quote-unquote, lacking?
Mm-hmm.
Not lacking,
mm-hmm.
or there's a question to be answered. Because I think sometimes my life, I have, you know, I go with, I've never been, I think I've always felt secure in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've never strived for security
mm-hmm.
because I've always felt secure. Where other people have always not felt secure, their main goal is security.
Right.
And they both have different issues and different problems at the
mm-hmm.
end.
That's true.
And so it's sort of like then saying, I'm now embracing every part of me. Because I look at you, I'm going, yeah, you're fine, girlfriend. Financially, you're fine. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you're still in the game. You still want to
mm-hmm.
create. You still
mm-hmm.
want to, and not for any other reason, but I want to be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to create. I want to have fun.
There's that element to me that enjoys creating.
Yes, exactly.
And if it becomes a, you know, a project, then you know,
it takes a little joy out of it for you.
Yeah, it does.
One of the things when I first got introduced to Law of Attraction and the works of Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks works.
Yes.
And I remember you brought me on this one woman's call, Elise. I can't think of her last name.
Yeah.
And
Elise.
She,
Killahan, or something like that. Yeah.
Killajoy. That's not it.
Every time, every once in a while.
Yeah, really. But I remember, I'm like, who is this Abraham Hicks everyone's talking about?
I know, Julia. Do you remember that?
And someone, I looked it up. I Googled it. And I'm like, oh, a non-physical entity. And it was channeled non-physical entity.
A channeled non-physical entity.
And I was like, whoa.
We had to pick our jaws up off the floor.
I go, you mean we're basing all of our talks, which is pretty fascinating, on channel material?
Yeah.
Now, it didn't offend me because you're a channeler, and I've been around you my whole life, so I'm totally cool. I mean,
right.
You can with the spirit. I mean, it's to me, it comes in different forms.
But so, we had never, ever heard of Abraham.
I had never heard of Abraham Hicks. And so, but the one thing that Abraham Hicks, through Esther Hicks, talks about, is that you are only a decision away from feeling prosperous, from feeling abundant.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to decide that. If you're feeling lack.
And I love that, by the way.
Yes, you can slowly move up the emotional scale to where you're feeling more abundant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other side of that is that, oh, and at that point, you're supposed to be more attractive to the money that you want, more prosperity, yada, 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 whatever.
Right.
That doesn't make, to me, that's not the important part.
Right. The important part is feeling better in your brain.
Now, and you get so, because I would think, depending on who you are in the world, prosperity is different for everybody.
Right.
And if you, you know, It just is. So,
mm-hmm.
So what we do is, it's like if you're feeling lack, you make decisions based out of lack, and then your spirit's not really transcending if you're making decisions back about life through lack, but making decisions feeling abundant, prosperous, secure, good, feeling great, feeling, you know, like excited about life, you're making different decisions.
Yeah, and that. What you're saying is true, and I want to say that it doesn't include sort of gambling.
No.
Those decisions, like, oh, I feel so good, let's just roll the dice here on this one. That's, I would say, that would be a negative in some sense.
Well, I mean, now you're putting your slant on that a little bit, I think.
I am. I do.
Yes, because we've had experience with people who've been working it. And we go, oh yeah, I'm going to buy this house right now because I know that I'm going to create the money for it. I'm like, well, why don't you just wait a couple months and create the money first before you go and buy the house?
Well, like years and years ago, we kind of put our trust in a person who was just talking the law of attraction. And we didn't get that initially.
Right.
We thought, oh, this is
true.
Great. This is what he's doing. And this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we gave money.
Yeah.
And then to quickly realize that, oh, wait a minute, you are just...
Law of attraction.
You're talking this.
Yeah, you're talking it, that this is what you want to happen.
Right, and not really having chops.
Edwin Gaines talks about this, that when you make a decision to do something, to say it out loud, because your words have power.
Absolutely.
And determination.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
And actually, it's death and life in the book. I remember a preacher man was saying, preacher man.
preacher man.
Exactly. Was saying that death comes first because it is, it's supposed to be really powerful. Like, hey, you can really stop things in your favor by saying it, you know, in a different way. And I think that's right.
Wow.
I mean, I get that, but I also know that we need to take ourselves a little less seriously. Because we'd all win the lottery by now. We were talking earlier today, Mom, about the four spiritual laws of prosperity, and I want to go through these real quickly because I think that people can get a little bit of a, just to have this in the back of their mind this week.
Yeah, take your time with them.
We don't have a lot of time left. It's been,
oh, we don't? Okay.
It's going really fast.
All right.
Yeah, we got about 20 minutes.
I love these, by the way, because I love things that make really good sense, whether... You know, it just based on good principles.
Yes.
You know?
And so we were debating about, we were going, I can name three of those goals.
What was the fourth one? Well, just surprise me.
I'll surprise you. You'll be like, of course. And we were like, why can I remember the fourth one?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is tithing and giving.
That's
the first one.
That's the first one.
And it, she says it's just like, it doesn't count for 9%. It's 10% because tithe is a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the most important thing for prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's debatable, you know, but this is what she likes. I'm going to tell you why I think it's important. And I've had, on more occasions, a wide variety of people talk about tithing in a spiritual, not religious way. Sir John Templeton.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful investor,
mm-hmm.
worth billions. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins interviewed him. He said, you tithe for 10 years, your life will never
be the same.
Be the same.
Yes.
And when he talked about it, it was this idea that your commitment to giving, to moving, to your commitment to expansion.
Mm-hmm.
What tithing means is that you have the faith to know that you have enough. It says to the world,
mm-hmm.
I have more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have more than enough that I know I'm giving my first 10% to whatever you want to give it to.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's, you know, whatever your job is or wherever, it's not your source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is your source. And so in a lot of ways, you're meant to sort of give that first 10% back
right.
to God. Do you know, do you have that quote, you know, where it says, prove me?
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Do you know that? It's not Job, is it? Or
no, it's Malachi.
Malachi, exactly.
Okay, here you go. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, say the Lord Almighty, I will open up the windows of heaven for
yes.
you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you
will
not
have
enough.
Room enough to receive it all.
And he goes, try it.
Try it. He goes,
let
try
me prove it to you.
I know.
Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease.
Mm.
Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe.
Yes.
Then all nations will call you blessed, for you, your land will be such a delight.
Mm.
So,
you know, there's that story. And I've, you know, I enjoy tithing.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely do. I just don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
I just do it. But there's that one story of this grandfather was telling about his granddaughter. She was young and she was in the swimming pool, and she got her hair caught in the, is it the filter or whatever
yes.
that pulled
mm-hmm.
her in, and she basically drowned. They called EMT, the emergency technicians, and they were working on her, and they were working on her, and nothing, you know, I think 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes went by, and they were just getting ready to call it. And the father just comes over, and he screams, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, be healed, or let my mm-hmm. child live, and on the authority of me as a tither. And the little girl, they said, just like literally rose from the concrete, like 7 or 8 inches, just jumped up, you know. And they still took her to the hospital, but she, you know, she was fine.
Right.
You know. And so there's a lot of interesting stories, I think, that are based around
yes.
the concept of tithing and what. You know, the authority that you have by doing that.
Right.
Know.
Well, it's interesting because this other gentleman I listened to on Tim Ferriss' podcast, can't think of his name, but he's a world-renowned strength coach.
Oh, gosh, what is his name?
Paquin, I can't
remember. Yeah.
Charles, maybe?
Charles, yes. Charles Paquin.
I don't know if that's exactly, I think it's really close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where he's from. He had an accent.
I think Europe, but
yeah. But he was talking about that he might have called it tithing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't think he did it. I think he called
he
it
didn't.
He says, said, I give 10% of my money away.
I always give 10%.
Always.
Yeah.
And he goes, because I just believe firmly that whatever you want, you must give first.
Right. And that is really true. I mean, that is it's a principle biblically, but a lot of ways you must sow a seed to get the fruit,
right,
to get the vegetables.
And so
you sow the seed what you need.
And we're talking here, and it's so funny because I just got my new credit card, you know, because my one expired. And it was the one that had most of my tithes on. I better go change that real quick.
Also, they're trying with the old credit card stuff.
And I'm like, now
they're frustrated.
No. I've got to change that. And so Edwin Gaines, I mean, some people talk about tithe as, you know, to your church, you know, mm-hmm. for sure. And then other people, like Edwin Gaines, talked about wherever you're spiritually nurtured.
I love that.
And she said, you know, so for her, it's anywhere.
Yeah. You can be spiritually nurtured. I mean, I see this lady in Oregon, you know who I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
and she's an older woman, and she goes up and down the streets in Oregon, which is a tiny little town, using, what do you call those things?
A walker,
but it rolls.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And she has like a little seat on it. And I'm just so proud of her.
Yes.
No matter what the weather, she's just out there by herself. And I like giving her money.
Yes.
And it does feel nourishing to me.
Yes.
It is spiritually nourishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, too. And if you're giving it locally to a variety of different places, you're also getting connected in your community. And, you know, think mm-hmm. about the people that you're going to be meeting and, you know, when they know, like, oh, she's a giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can count on her or I need her or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're expanding your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a tither, however you think about it, start thinking about, you know, that idea of being
mm-hmm.
a tither.
Or a giver.
A giver.
Even
to
start small.
Exactly. And the second one is setting clear-cut goals. And
that's one of the laws of prosperity.
Yes. So the energy of all your tithe comes into you and has a place to go.
Right.
And she talks about having to, before you even start setting goals, to have a 21-day fast
mm-hmm.
on negative thinking mm-hmm. and negative words.
I remember when you were... You wanted a 21-day fast on cursing.
Didn't
Never
work.
Never got there.
I didn't get to, like, day three.
At some point, Julie, we're going to have to just go beyond this.
Well, it says, take 20 days fast from anger, gossip, cheating, and hostility.
Mm.
Only then, when you have only good intentions in your heart and on your mind, can you specifically specify what is truly what you want. And figure out how you can go about accomplishing and achieving.
I'm going to add one more thing to that.
Yes.
I don't know why, but as you were saying those things,
mm-hmm.
I felt the Spirit say people pleasing.
Interesting.
Interesting,
yes.
Isn't it?
100%.
Yeah, because I think that somehow curbs or.
Agreed.
Oh, good, good.
Well, and we have in our book the Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by just. You know, but decluttering your life.
Mm-hmm. On Amazon.
On Amazon, yes. Go there. There is a huge goal-setting program in there. And it's fun. It's awesome.
Yes.
I also think we have it in 21 Days to Your Biggest Dream.
21 Days to Your Three Big Dreams.
Three Big Dreams,
yes.
And that's fun, too, because we take it, like, in 7 moments. We take,
mm-hmm.
like, 7, we clear the clutter, we figure out our dreams, then we go for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're not saying you're going to achieve all your dreams in 21 days, but it gets
well,
you going.
Well, you know what, though? I've had people email me and go, I'm on day 21, and none of my dreams came true.
Have you started? Are they on your way?
I just really, you always miss those little things.
Yeah.
Like, you think people understand, you know?
Yeah,
don't take it.
It's not so literal.
Yes.
Edwin Gaines does say in her book, though, she goes, okay, if you haven't achieved your goals in a set time, because you're supposed to really give yourself a time frame or, you know, for your goals, give yourself more time.
Yes.
just chill out a little bit.
Add another semester.
Exactly. Hello. And then the third one is forgiveness and worthiness. You must forgive yourself. Gaines believes
100%.
That you must forgive yourself for everything you've ever done and forgive others for all that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Freeing yourself from judging others is a step in learning what you truly want out of life. 100%. And mostly for people I know, it's forgiving themselves.
Yes.
We are so hard on each ourselves.
I mean, even in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive
them.
Those who trespass against us. It's a two-way street.
Yes.
And we are meant not to stay in condemnation.
No.
You know, we may feel like, oh, I missed the mark. Then you just go, okay, I'm sorry. And, you know, it's like getting back on the horse right away.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. And you used to say that forgiveness is like an onion. You just keep peeling away the layers.
Yes.
And sometimes another issue comes up. You're like, I got to forgive myself for
right.
this.
Right, exactly.
You're like, oh. Or like you're doing Christmas cards and you're triggered. And you're like,
yes.
I got to forgive myself for this.
It's so true. And you're wondering, like, how much more is there to forgive?
And you're like, that onion's pretty big.
Yeah.
And
it's a Vidalia onion.
It's a Vidalia, exactly. It's one of those blooming onions from Outback Steakhouse.
Yes,
it's like, those things never end, man.
They never end.
It's like, by the time you get through half of it, you're like, oh,
it's like a chia pet.
Yes, exactly. When will this blooming onion end? That's what it sounds like.
I used to love those until I started just like, having bad moments afterwards.
Oh, thank
the sauce of the
oh, yeah.
spicy sauce.
Oh. Well, something happened to you where everything spicy just went like
right through me.
And right through you,
yes.
Like ugh.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry and Merry Bloomin' Christmas,
yeah,
people.
Exactly.
Merry Bloomin' Christmas.
So, Julie, what's the? Is it the second one or the third?
The fourth one. Now we're at the fourth.
We
got.
Oh, okay.
First of all, we did tithe.
Right.
Second of all, we get a clear cut goal. We say go get our book at the clutter, you know, at
mm-hmm.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Third, forgive, which we talk about in our Clutterfly Effect book as well. We had a whole course on forgiving consciousness.
We do.
It's an awesome course. I love it. It's a great course. And then also, too, the last one.
Yes, tell me.
Ah, which is hard. She goes, finding your divine purpose.
No.
I know. Why don't you just throw that one at the end?
Oh.
I, you know, but
those are, you know, I get a little funked up.
Right.
When I start talking about the divine purpose because, you know, I mean, everybody always thinks, you know, you're meant to be, you know, like I said, the Queen of the Nile, or
yeah, exactly.
You've got to be something famous, or you know, a sensation. When I'm pretty sure that the majority of us are meant to be good moms, good
yes.
wives. Good
yes, and those are all part of our purposes. And I think our purposes change throughout time. I mean, we're here for a lifetime. And we may be here longer if we come back. I don't know how that all works out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, so many times we're like, well, my purpose should lead to $1 billion,
right?
Or lots of fame.
I mean, I can remember counseling a woman for a long time, really, you know. And when we would approach this, and she wanted me to like. Sort of portend or for, you know, for us to see something greater for her. And I, you know, she loved animals and she, you know, she would take in strays and all this. And all I could see was how beautiful that was.
Yes.
But it was like not good enough for her for, you know, to work that. I mean,
right.
She did get the bubonic plague from one of her cats
yeah.
who brought in a dead mouse.
That was pretty freaky.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaky.
She survived.
She survived, yeah. The bubonic plague no longer is like a planet killer.
A death
sentence.
Well, when the CDC showed up at her door,
yes.
it was kind of scary.
Yeah, exactly. She has a couple questions in here. Like, the easiest way to make a plan up is to ask yourself, what would be the most fun thing I could do with my life?
Really?
And that is your divine purpose.
Oh, how does she get the word divine out of that, though? I mean,
well, I don't
because
know.
Because it gives you joy?
Yes.
I love that. Okay, because I know that joy is important.
Joy is important.
Rejoice.
Joy is your compass, she says. God has given us an inner guidance system to help us find our divine purpose.
Oh.
It's a part of us that feels joy.
Oh, my God.
And as you take your first steps in seeking your divine purpose, I encourage you to get out of your daily grind, take a little time in solitude, and reimagine yourself and your life.
Oh, my
and
God.
And it's so funny because that's exactly what I'm doing.
Wow.
I go, I don't know if I want for the next 20 years of my life doing this.
No, I know, Julie, we don't.
And so, and it's interesting because Oprah said a day, and you know, in her when she was interviewing Thomas More, she was saying, or in the background she says, if you want to have more life, you better be prepared to have more life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, we want to have more life, like more life with a girlfriend.
More life with a girlfriend,
yeah.
Yes.
But we really don't want to have. We want to decide.
We don't want to be too uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Because that would be too scary.
Yeah.
But and yet you and I are so good at being uncomfortable. I mean, except you know when you're triggered, like,
right.
Oh, should I have gone? Should I have just taken the easy path?
Yeah. And then that's that. I mean, I would define that voice as the inner critic.
Yeah.
Or the inner parent. There's a lot of times you hear that inner parent voice in your head, you know.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, Dave Ramsey, when I listen to him, I'm always, at the end of my day, I'm like, I'm not saving enough, you know. I mean, gratefully, I don't have anything else going on, but that was just like, that's always my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about when he was first tithing, and he was going to church, and he was saying, you know, he was going bankrupt at the same time, and a woman comes up to him and says, how you doing? He goes, oh, I'm not doing well. I'm going bankrupt. I'm losing my business. And he's like, oh, you're not tithing. He goes,
oh,
no,
that's her first thought.
Yeah.
To him?
And he goes, no, I'm a tither.
Right.
And she goes, oh, well, you just don't have enough faith.
Whoa.
And he goes, no, I have faith. But I know that, you know, my business model sucked or I was in debt and, you know.
Or was it not capitalized enough?
Yes. We're still on this planet. We're still,
prone to these laws,
exactly.
These earthly, earthy laws.
Yes, and who knows? You might have given your money to, you know, what is his name? Madoff? No.
Oh, Madoff?
Is that
Bernie Madoff?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like that one gentleman.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon
no.
and his wife.
Remember I told you that he was he's a Jewish professor?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't think of his name.
The Holocaust Museum
yes.
and everything.
Yeah.
What the heck is this?
I can't think of his name now.
Yeah, I can't either.
But anyway, he I know his
He son, lost all of his money, too.
All of his money, all of it. And then he, you know, came back. And he said it could have been a lot worse. But he lost it all.
Yeah.
And then he came back, you know.
Yeah.
We just...
Because that's what it does. It just, you know...
I'm thinking to myself, he's a tither.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Things still happen. But... I think as we become open to more experiences, more life, and I think this is where forgiveness comes into place. If we can just completely forgive and let our spirit soar
mm-hmm.
and be become more detached to the outcomes, we could have a lot more fun.
Yes. Not easy, though, Jules.
I know it's not, sweetie. I know it's not.
I know.
We're getting there, though, aren't
we? Yeah, we're getting there. I mean, the idea of Thanksgiving, being thankful for everything, seeing really your blessing.
Yeah.
I remember you and I were talking one day, and we were like, I don't see where this blessing, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but then the thought came in like, well, what would it look like if the blessing was taken away?
Right.
And then you're just like, you know, there's
that aha
moment. There
yeah.
you go, wait a minute. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that's true, too, that we can still, in the same moment, go, I am completely grateful for my life,
mm-hmm.
and yet feel disappointed
mm-hmm.
or betrayed by it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're kind of, you know, you were telling me about that one movie that you saw, like, was it Her or something?
Yes.
And at the very end, they were saying, we're living in between the spots or the spaces.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that's how you can be completely, you know, grateful and blessed and disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the spot. You're in the middle there.
Well, and Thomas, interesting you brought that up, because Thomas More says, God is in between the sentences. God is everywhere.
There
he
you
says,
go.
God is unknowable. This is what he has learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust him. I mean,
yes.
As we all are in our own journey, in our spiritual journey,
yes.
He certainly is a practicer of this, right?
Yes.
He says he's unknowable and he's infinite. And I don't use him as specific gender.
Right, yes.
And I believe the Spirit's inside of us,
mm-hmm.
and because I can tell that the infinite is inside of us. I feel that.
Yes.
Before we go, I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Oprah was talking about how do you first get in touch with your spirituality, going to nature? And Oprah's like, we need to look up at the stars at night. And no one does this. I'm like, I do it all the time.
You do.
I love the stars.
You do.
And Oprah goes, when I look up, I am just at awe that I am part of this. And I thought that's interesting, because a lot of people think to themselves, I feel so small.
I feel such a small little speck on
yes.
this big blue
and where
orb.
She feels,
yes.
oh my, I am a part of this amazing big thing. And I thought, that's the difference
yeah.
in feeling abundant and feeling lack.
Yes.
And so it is just a shift. So let's make that shift this week a little bit, everyone.
Yes, because shift happens.
Shift happens, girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends. It was a little bit more of a somber night, but fun.
I'm feeling better.
Good.
I'm under the weather, but still feeling better. And I appreciate all you brought to the plate tonight,
thank
girlfriend.
Thank you. Get our book, The Clutterfly Effect, on Amazon.com. Can go to us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com. And Mama, how was the show tonight?
It was great, honey.
It was great.